Well, this is going to go right along with that. I remember standing at my daddy's bedside as the tears filled up the wrinkles on his face. As I held his withered hand, he smiled and whispered, "Son, I'm going to live in a better place, and I'll have eyes that will never fail with teardrops. I heard this song this week for the first, I don't know if it was the first time I ever heard this song or not. I was driving back from Bangor, Maine on Monday afternoon, and I must have listened to this song about 20 times because it really blessed my heart. And the first verse, I can picture some of these songs as I'm listening to them and as I'm singing them, and I hope you can too, because you're really going to get more of a blessing out of the song if you can relate to what's being said in it. And I like the verse where it talked about standing by his daddy's bedside, and I could see him standing there and holding his daddy's hand. And the second verse talked about, I liked the line where it said, "Streets of gold will run by my front door." And I thought about that. I thought, wow, that's incredible. The front door of my mansion that's being built right now. And the last verse, I couldn't get over this last verse. In fact, I had tears in my eyes while I was driving down the road. Up above, up in my truck, up above the top where I sit, there's a compartment, and I have a roll of paper towels in there. And most of the time, it's to wipe the sweat off my face after I just got done throwing tires. But sometimes it's for tears, too, while I'm singing some of these songs that just really touch me inside. And that was one of them, because I got to the part where it said, "And the deaf who's never heard the roar of thunder, he's going to rejoice to hear the Savior call his name on that day." So I'm going to sing that last verse again because it really touched my heart, and I hope you get a blessing from it too. "And all the eyes of the blind will then be opened, and they'll join the victory march with the lame, and the deaf who's never heard to hear the Savior call their name. And I'll have eyes that will never fill with teardrops. I'll have legs that will never ache with pain. And I'll have hands that will never age and wither. And
that's the one thing I always notice as people that you know get older. Their hands get all wrinkled and everything. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Or arthritis sets in, you know, and it's like this or whatever, you know. It'll be grand to be in a place where those are just going to get brand new up there in heaven. All right, well, you know, we talk a lot about going to heaven and everything, but I think that we got to have another song sung because my mom and my sister like this song. I think my dad likes this one, too, about the park bench, you know, the old guy on the park bench. We say the old guy, we don't say the old man, right, Dad?
No.
Old man. But that's the way the song is, so that's the way it's going to have to be sung. Yeah, the gentleman. All right. Yeah, well, maybe you'll hear it for the first time. There we go. All right, Jason.
"A penny for your thoughts," I say to the old man, as he sat there on the park bench all alone, with silver hair and wrinkled brown eyes gleaming. He smiled and said, "Just thinking about my home." So I sat down and we shared some laughs together, and the cinema of remembrance, it did roll. We talked about life's gains, and yes, its losses, but mostly he just talked about his home. He said, "I'm thinking about home. I'm thinking about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home." I said to the old man, "Where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, ain't nothing round here can compare. You see, a king had it built, and he gave the deed to me. And most of my family's already there. He said, I'm thinking about home. I'm thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here. I'm ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. He said, I'm thinking about home. I'm thinking about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here, ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. Be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. I guess
we're ready for preaching now. Preaching the Word of God. So, Dad, you come. This is my dad, for those of you who don't know him. He's not the old man. I could never get away with saying that. I always had to be Dad. If I said old man, boy, I think he'd clobber me. But I love him. I'm probably just a chip off the old block. Yeah. So here he is. This is my dad, Paul Freeman. 80 what? 80.
84 next month.
84 years young. So, okay, you preach the word.
All right. Baptism to follow.
Yep.
What time?
When you're done.
Thank you. Going to be a little late tonight. I mentioned to you this morning that I was saved 59 years ago, and the evangelist who led me to the Lord gave me a copy of the Gospel of John. And he said, I want you to take that home and read it. I want you to memorize the underlined verses in there. And I did. And I've been in love with that Gospel of John ever since. That's 59 years ago. I found a place where I can buy them. I buy 50 at a time. And sometimes I'll give them to people. But if you'd like to have one, I have a few extras left from this morning after we passed them out this morning. I found out when I was preparing a message one day that in the Gospel of John, you will find the word Father with a capital F 115 times. That's a long time. That's a lot of verses. 115 times Jesus talks about, or someone talks to him about, his Father. I like John. It's about God and his Son. I wrote an article not too long ago, and I sent it to a few people just to see what they thought of it. I get a little tired of the weak preaching that's going on in America. I get real tired of sitting listening to sermons that don't contain anything. And I'm waiting for some Bible doctrine to be taught in the services where the preachers preach. But I find that God's people are starving to death for someone to feed them from the Word of God. And it grieves me because I don't get called too often to come preach. Maybe if a preacher would break his leg or have to have a surgery or something, they might call me and ask me to come fill in. I had a preacher down Pekin one time not too long ago, called me at 6:15 in the morning on Sunday morning, said his wife was in the hospital and he was with her and he couldn't get away. He said, could you preach and could you teach Sunday school and preach for me on Sunday morning, this morning? I said, I think I can do that for you. I'll be glad to help you out. And so I did that. I love to get calls like that. There was a time when I used to go out on meetings and spend a week on meetings. On Saturday morning, I'd be ready to leave. And sometimes I had to sneak out of the pastor's house and get out of there. And he said, hey, you left. You didn't even wait for breakfast. I said, no, preacher, you don't understand. After I've been there for a week preaching, you know what I want to do on Saturday morning? I want to go home. I want to get back where my home is. And so those were good days. I enjoyed the opportunity I had to go out on meetings. Met a lot of preachers. Met a lot of Christians. Had some real good times, and the Lord blessed, and we saw some people saved. But I want to speak to you tonight. I don't know how I'm going to handle this because we got a baptism coming. So, you know, this sermon has 10 parts. Now, I had one this morning, had 8 parts. Did anybody get 13 out of it? Huh? Like the lady that said to me, well, how many points did that have? I said, it had 8. She said, well, I had 13. And she was a preacher's wife. And I thought, well, that's good. I guess she was impressed. She turned 8 into 13. No, I'm going to move a little quicker than that. I wrote this article. I didn't intend it to be a sermon. But after a while, I decided I was going to make it a sermon. And I'd like you to take your believer's New Testament and turn to 2 John, 2 John verse 9. I said turn to your believer's New Testament because there is a New Testament published by unbelievers. And you need to be sure you've got the King James Bible because that's the believer's Bible. It's been with us 400 years, and prior to that, it was with us 1,500 years in the Greek, carefully preserved after being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, preserved by the saints of God. Some of them gave their lives for it. And then in 1611, it's translated into English. And then, about 1881, some unbelievers got their hands on a corrupted Greek text and decided they were going to print the non-believers New Testament. But I'm reading from the believers New Testament King James Version, 2 John verse 9, and here's what it says. Whosoever transgresseth. Now you know what that means. That means to go contrary to God's plan and purpose. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. Anyone who does not abide, settle down, and be at home in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, does not have God. You can tell me all the sweet nothings you want to tell me about God, but if your doctrine concerning the person and the work of Christ is not biblical, you do not have God. Let's finish the verse. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching concerning Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. One thing I discover in the Bible, you cannot separate God from his Son. They are together. They're always together. They're always in agreement with each other. They never have an argument. They never disagree with each other in doctrine. They are always the same. And I found, as I listed all these different things in the Word of God, God and his Son are together in creation. You're very blessed to have a pastor who has spent a lot of time studying creation and its contrary thing, evolution. The only reason people believe in evolution is because they don't like the alternative. The alternative is you've got to believe in God. I remember years ago, I used to listen to the, Dr. M.R. DeHaan, radio Bible class. He said, if you do not believe the first verse in the Bible, you cannot be saved. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we quoted the verse this morning in John chapter 1, verse 1. Where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God the Father and God the Son created the world. I can go to the unbeliever's Bible, and I can turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, where it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And I don't care what modern version of the Bible you pick up, that verse is removed and it's not in the Bible. It's been in the Bible since the day the Apostle John wrote it, in A.D. 90 or thereabouts. It's a verse that teaches us that God exists in a triune way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are together in creation. Then I see that they also, Father and Son, are together in the incarnation. You know what I mean by the incarnation? Isaiah 7 verse 14. The prophet said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then, of course, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and he said, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Thou shalt bear a son, and he will be the Son of God. They were together in the incarnation. Hebrews 10 verse 5 says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And in that virgin womb, there was a body prepared by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the Son of God entered that body and was born into the world. God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And by the way, that body came to its birth 9 months later and was born into the world. He was the God-man. And he had a body, and he had a soul, and he had a spirit. And you'll read all three in the pages of your believer's New Testament. There was a difference about him, however. He came into the world without sin. Amen. I hate to tell you, but his birthday is not in your Bible. I hate to tell you that. But the Holy Spirit of God wrote the Bible and he hid it from us. He said, you don't need to know. Somebody's going to say, well, what about Mary? I have a book on my shelf at home that has 670 pages. And the title of it is The Glories of Mary. And it's all written by the Roman Catholic Church. And it's filled with all the myths that have developed over the years about Mary. And yet, I must tell you this, that once you read Acts chapter 1, verse 11, where the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, and Mary was with them, you will never see her name again all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. Nothing is said about Mary. Because you see, the Bible is about God and His Son. It's not about God and Mary and His Son. It does not tell you anywhere that she is the Queen of Heaven. The Bible does not tell you that God was indebted to Mary for giving Jesus a body of flesh. It does not tell you that when Jesus died on the cross, it was Mary's flesh, and she was therefore co-mediator. Does not tell you that in the Bible. Mary is unknown. There's only two times in the Word of God. After Jesus was born, she came to him and she said, they were at a wedding. Maybe it was his brother or sister, I don't know, who was getting married. You know, Mary had four boys and two girls at least after Jesus was born. I guess you know that. But she came to him and she said, they have no wine. They ran out of wine. And he said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And then there was one other time she stood at the foot of the cross as he was dying for our sins. And he looked at her in one of the seven sayings on the cross. He said to her, woman, behold thy son. And standing alongside of her was the apostle John. And he said to John, behold thy mother. And John took her home to his house. And you could be sure that John took care of her. And yes, there's going to come a day when she returns with the Lord in the rapture with all the saints of God. And that body of hers is going to come out of the grave just like yours and mine. And we're all going up in the rapture together. I just thought you should know that. A book with 670 pages titled The Glory of Mary, written by Bishop St. Alphonsus de Liguori. It's a crime. It's blasphemy. But let's go along. I'll say this. They were together and co-equal. The Jews understood he made himself equal with God, and they took up stones to stone him. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And in Philippians 2:6, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. No, he didn't consider that something he had to hang on to and clasp. He was equal with God. Then I find that he was together in redemption. We talked about that this morning. We read in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And then Paul told the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said, feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And the blood is the blood of God and the blood of his Son. And together they have put that blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And that's why you may enter heaven. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, it says in 1 Peter 1, 18, verse 19, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Number five, they were together in salvation. And you know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then I go move on to number six. They were both together at the cross. They were both together at the cross. Now think about it. Isaiah 53:6, most of us have memorized it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that word Hebrew is Jehovah, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all of us. Actually, the Greek word means that he made to meet upon him, to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. They were both there when that happened. The Father, while he hung on the cross, picked up the sin of the whole world, yours and mine and everyone else that was ever born or will be born, and he laid that big ball of sin on his Son. And the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I remember reading in Luke 23, verse 34, where Jesus said on the cross, as they nailed him to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, for him to say that as he hung on the cross, dying and bearing our sins, speaking to his Father was there. And there came a point when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I don't know what the Father did at that point, but he had laid that whole bundle of sin upon his Son. And he pulled down the shades of heaven and he just turned away. But he didn't leave. He didn't leave. Because when his experience on the cross was over, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he dismissed. He gave up the ghost. His Father and he were together at the cross. They were together at the resurrection. In John 2, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up." And then Peter on the day of Pentecost preached and he said, "This Jesus hath God raised up. The Son raised himself and the Father raised him from the dead." You see, they are always together. Their doctrine is the same. They work together. They do things together. They're never independent of each other. And you know what? Number eight. They're together now in heaven. And in that gospel that John, Jesus said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee." He said, "And glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world began." And back into the glory he went. And the Father said, the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And in Romans 8:34 it says, we have an intercessor at the right hand of God. Now God the Father and God the Son are there together in heaven in the glory. Just those two. Now, I understand that the Trinity consists also of the Holy Spirit. But you know the Holy Spirit doesn't speak about himself. He glorifies the Father and the Son. but especially the Son. They're together in heaven, back into the glory. But now I come to the hard part. Number 9. I'm going to ask you to turn in the Gospel of John to chapter 15. John 15. I'll be done. Won't be long. I'm about done. John 15. We start at verse 22. Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Together they are hated by the lost world." They're hated. Do you understand why the devil hates Jesus and Christians? In chapter 7, verse 7, he said to his disciples, he said, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof," that's like Sunday school this morning, right? "The works thereof are evil." And I put my own commentary here at the foot of that in my wide margin Bible. And I ask these questions. What does Jesus think of the world? He said it was evil. What does the world think of Jesus? They hate him. They hate him. You understand that? They hate him. What do you think of the world? What do you think of the world? I know what I think of it. Yeah. What does the world think of us? You're going to find out. If you don't already know it, you're going to find out. Because the way the world is and the way the world is turning in our own country, you are not going to be liked unless you decide to give in. And my last question was, when will the world change? The answer is never. Number 10, they are together in wrath upon unbelievers. The lost are all around us. They're all around us every day. You walk alongside, you walk with them, you meet them in the grocery store. Wherever you go, the lost are all around us. Do you realize these people are lost? It's nice to say, "Good morning, how are you?" But you know, you got to go beyond that. "I'm a Christian. I'd like to help you. I'd like to show you how Jesus died for your sins. Let me give you something to read. Let me give you something to read." You know what? I was never told to be a soul winner. I was told to be a witness. A witness. A person who speaks and speaks. And my wife and I, now that we're older, you know, I said to somebody, one of my Christian friends a couple of weeks ago, I said to him one day, you know what? I wish I had a friend. I wish I had a friend. It's hard to find a friend anymore that stands for anything. You know, you're always avoiding people because they won't do what they ought to do before the Lord. And when you talk to them, you know, it's They have that glassy stare like a deer in the headlights, you know. Have you ever gone to churches where you couldn't have a spiritual fellowship with anybody? They'll talk to you, but they won't talk to you about Jesus or the Father or any doctrines of the Bible. But as I started to say, before I went down the rabbit trail, we bump into people anymore and we talk to them. And sometimes I'm waiting for half an hour for my wife to stop talking to somebody. We pulled into McDonald's the other day coming out here. And Beth and I got out of the car and we went into McDonald's. It was a potty stop time, you know. And my wife got out of the car, and the car next to us had an open window, and the lady was sitting inside. And guess what happened? My wife is talking to the lady inside. Never met her in her life. And I went in and went potty, and my wife and my daughter went in and went potty, and we came out, and Beth had to go walk around a little bit in the grass. And I had to take a little stroll down the parking lot. She's still talking to this lady. And you know, and I met Beth and she said, well, I'm just asking the Lord to give Mom the right words to say. And see, it's getting like that anymore because we're realizing that people are lost and not somebody's got to talk to them. Well, I find that God the Father and God the Son are together in wrath upon unbelievers. John 3:36, it's in here. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. What abides on him? Because he doesn't believe, the wrath of God abideth on him. And I go back even to Psalm 2 verse 12 where it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Can you imagine what it's like when God gets angry? Pastor talked about the flood this morning. Everybody on the face of the earth drowned. And that was an act of God. God and his Son are together in wrath upon unbelievers. And I have to say this when I finish what I'm saying. There are 5 Supreme Court justices in the United States that are waiting for God to apologize to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's right. He destroyed them all. Fire and brimstone came down from God. They may have had civil unions, but fire and brimstone came down from God out of heaven upon them all. And he couldn't find 10 people in that town of Sodom and Gomorrah, those towns, that were righteous. Everybody out there is lost. You may be sitting here lost. You need to come to the one who died on the cross for your sins. God the Father wants you to come. God the Father sent him to save your soul. You need to come to him and trust him as your Savior. And if you don't, you are going to suffer the wrath of God. There is no doubt about it. It's not questionable. It's not up for grabs. It's not, well, maybe it won't. No, there's no maybes. Heaven is for people who have trusted Christ as Savior, and hell is for those who will not. Who will not. And they will not. Well, I better stop right there. My question, of course, is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Are you sure? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? There are people in this audience I've asked that question to. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the answer sometimes. I think so. Maybe so. Hope so. But I think we better stop. Let me just leave it to Pastor at this point. Someone should play maybe a verse. Whatever, Pastor, you're in charge. You got a work to do right now.
For a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like to give an opportunity for someone who might be here tonight who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to do that. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And Jesus died for you, paid for your sins, and wants to save you. Why not come out from underneath the wrath of God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you're here tonight and you say in your heart, I need to get saved. I need to trust in Jesus as my Savior. I've never done that before. If I died right now, I don't know where I would go. But I want to know. Here's my hand, Richard. I'm going to raise your hand. Just raise your hand and let me know. Anybody here tonight? Say, I need to be saved. I need this. I can't go another day without knowing for sure. I want to trust Jesus. Just raise your hand. Put it back there. And we wait just a moment. Well, the invitation is never over. You can always talk to me and I if you want to get saved. But it's the most important thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Father and for the Son. Thank you that together they have provided a salvation for us, which is priceless. And the Holy Spirit, who doesn't want to be seen at all, convicts us. Oh, work in people's hearts. Save sinners. Bless in the baptismal service to follow. May it be a blessing in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.